Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you could join me for the broadcast today. We're going to continue on in a message I've entitled A Better Covenant. And I felt it was just important for us to review the basis and the essential reasons why we can claim God's promises, because God does everything because of covenant. And on yesterday's broadcast, when I began this message, I referenced some scriptures in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 6 through 12, where the writer of Hebrews is talking about a better covenant based on better promises that is being written in the hearts of God's people. And this is the wonderful grace-filled experience that as New Testament believers we can possess. But a covenant, as I was sharing, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, is a formal, solemn, binding agreement, a written agreement between two parties, especially for the performance of some action. That Hebrew word for covenant means to cut or to divide. And to demonstrate the reality of a covenant that is being made, there's an enactment by shedding of blood and by two persons walking through the two pieces of flesh. It was a very solemn agreement, and we're of course referencing how it was done in biblical times. A covenant then is a solemn oath which seals all relationships between individuals, communities, and nations with promises of blessing for obedience and curses or death by violation or disobedience. And blood covenant is the closest, the most enduring, the most solemn and sacred of all contracts. Once made, it cannot be broken. And if we really truly understood the sacredness and solemnity of covenant, I believe that we wouldn't see so many Christian marriages dissolved. We wouldn't be slandering one another. Why? Because we are covenant brothers and sisters through the shed blood of Jesus. Now, an important thing to understand before I actually share the 9 steps that were involved in establishing a covenant, we have to understand that if we are in fact in covenant, it empowers us and gives us certain rights. And one of the most important of those rights is prosperity. And by that, I'm not just speaking about material or financial prosperity. I'm talking about the whole man. Remember John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers." So we're talking about physical, financial, and spiritual prosperity. And if you'd like a scripture that demonstrates that, I'll give you Deuteronomy 8:18, where the Lord says, "For it is He that giveth us power to give wealth, that He may establish His covenant with us." Isn't that interesting? God wants to establish, He wants to solidify the covenant He has with His people, and He gives us the power that we need in order to get wealth, to experience that abundant life, so that His covenant with us can be fully established. It can be settled. It can be determined, because wealth and prosperity is essential to the establishing of that covenant. Now let's go on and begin to look at the 9 steps that were involved in establishing a covenant. First of all, there was an exchange of robes. The two parties removed their long robes or coats and exchanged them. And in the Old Testament, the robe was a symbol of authority. And so, if we could say you and I could put ourselves in that place, if I exchange my robe with you, I'm pledging all of myself, my total being, my flesh, my life to you. And in the same way, Jesus laid down his mantle of authority, his robe of glory and majesty in heaven, and he came down to earth to exchange the robes we had that were tainted with sin. Remember with Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, he was clothed with filthy rags, and the Lord exchanged those rags for robes of righteousness, and he wants to give us that robe of righteousness. So Jesus stood in our place, and everything that he did for our benefit. So he takes away our robe, the robe of sin and unrighteousness, and even our best righteousness is as filthy rags, and he gives us his righteousness, which occurs at the time that we are born again, we become a new creature. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Philippians 3:9 says, and I'm quoting, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Praise God. And so, beloved, just think about that. That means, if we didn't get any further than that, what a powerful statement this is. What a powerful reality. The devil can't accuse us. He can't come against our righteousness because the righteousness we have is that of Christ. And he was perfect, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. No spot, no stain, no sin, no unrighteousness was found in him. Now, it is possible for us to sin, to stumble and fall, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness of the flesh. And so, beloved, this is a wonderful concept that we have, that robe of righteousness. Now, secondly, there was another act that followed the exchange of robes, and that was the exchange of belts. Now, in biblical times, scriptural times, the Old Testament belt held weapons, especially swords. And in the New Testament, there were two kinds of swords. There was the long sword and the short sword or dagger. Now, perhaps you're thinking of that reference to the armor of the Christian, which is described in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And there, the word talks about the sword of the Spirit. That refers to the short dagger. So what does that mean? Well, it means we get in very close contact with the enemy. Basically, that short dagger was used by the Roman soldier to wrestle the enemy in hand-to-hand combat. And so, when we have that dagger, that sword of the Spirit, that means, in terms of the new covenant, as we exchange belts, if you will, the exchange of swords means an exchange of the strength or ability to fight. Now that's exciting. Again, let's go back to the example of you and me. If anybody threatens or attacks you, then you know what? They're attacking me. So your battle is mine, and my battle is yours. I will fight beside you and help to protect and defend you. Of course, that's what I do when you write in for prayer. I'm fighting and defending and wrestling in prayer for the UCM family. And of course, the belt that we have is the belt of truth. In Ephesians, it refers to our loins girt about with truth. And here, we can see Jesus exchanging our strengths, our abilities to fight, and having an exchange for his strength. And he gives us spiritual weapons. Praise God, ones that the devil simply can't defeat or overcome. Isn't that exciting? In Psalm 91, it says, "We're hidden in the secret place of the Most High. In the time of trouble, he will hide us in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He will hide me. He will set me up upon a rock." Now, what if someone really comes against us? They're an enemy to us. Do we fight back when someone hits us? No, we leave it with the Lord, because vengeance belongs to the Lord. All right, then let's go on to the third thing that is done. There's animal sacrifice. The animal is divided in two. Then the two parties will stand back to back, and they'll walk in a figure eight, finally meeting face to face over the split pieces of flesh. Now, we know that the animal that was sacrificed in a covenant relationship, of course, in terms of God and his people, it speaks of Jesus, who was the lamb slain. And when he offered himself, Jesus, as he did that as a sacrifice, he went to heaven, the scriptures tell us. He took his blood and sprinkled it on everything in heaven so that we, in turn, can enter into God's presence by his shed blood. Remember when he died, we cried out, "It is finished." One of the first dramatic things, that thick veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So that was Jesus' amazing sacrifice that he did for us. And what is our part? What can we render to him as far as a sacrifice? Well, what does the word say? Our bodies are a living sacrifice. And if we present them to God, God can work in and through us. Praise God. Well, my time again has come to a close, and I must bring this broadcast to a conclusion. Thank you so much for joining me. And we are going to continue on. We've just begun to look at the first three aspects of covenant, and we're going to continue on as the Lord allows on succeeding broadcasts. But if you have prayer needs, I have a covenant before the Lord, a solemn promise that as you write in, I will pray for you and bring your request personally to the Lord in prayer. I invite you to write. Be a part of my spiritual family. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. I love you. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.